First things first, they say that U.S. postal workers is out here stealing. Stealing. Can you believe it? Why would you steal from the U.S. Postal Service and you know you're going to get Fed numbers? You're getting football numbers. Let's get to it.
A major theft from a mail facility at JFK Airport. Two postal workers have now been arrested, and they're accused of stealing treasury checks, maybe worth even as much as $40 million. News 4's Gus Rosendale joining us from the newsroom tonight with what else we've learned, Gus.
Well, Natalie, detectives with the NYPD tell us they were initially tipped off by a bank that red flagged suspicious deposits, and they end up joining forces with federal authorities, and that joint effort led to arrests earlier today.
What you guys do? What happened?
Tonight.
Look at the usual suspects. Look at them. All of them. But they've been stealing, so they braids and they dreads is a little bit better than everybody else's. Usually, you know what I'm saying, you'll get you some people, some dread heads, some dusty dusties. They still fit the description, but my man, he got on a clean white tee. And my white tee, you see his friend back there, he taking care of business, they got the dreads on. I was talking to a police officer that I coach from a financial perspective, and he was giving me some insight on what they look for a lot of times. So if you work certain jobs, for example, right, and they start seeing you riding cleaner than everybody else, or you standing out, or you got your earrings on and your drip, drip, drip. I know y'all say don't stereotype, but that's the way we catch criminals, right? And you out here and you moving a certain way, the first thing that they're going to do is get a little bit suspicious. Hey, man, he's standing out a little bit more than everybody else. So he got a second job. He got a business. He got, you know, a wife that's over here working too. What's going on? What's happening? You pulling up and something foreign that costs $150,000 just to do a job that take you $20 an hour. And if they can't put two and two together, then they're going to get a little bit more suspicious. And y'all say don't judge, but I think that judging ultimately leads to arrests. So, anyways, we got our usual suspects being led out of the post office, the U.S. Postal Service at JFK. Let's learn a little bit more about them.
These suspects are accused of conspiring to steal more than 100 checks worth millions of dollars from the JFK mail facility.
We uncovered really a point of compromise, and that point of compromise was JFK post office.
Prosecutors believe it's the biggest theft at JFK since the famous Lufthansa heist in 1978, when about $6 million in cash and jewelry was stolen from the airport.
You're right,
United Paul States Brown. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, Breon Peace, said in a statement, criminals who cash in on checks stolen from the mail can expect to fill out change of address forms for the federal prison they will be calling home. Two of the defendants, prosecutors say, worked for the Postal Service. Three others are charged with endorsing and depositing what investigators describe as stolen checks issued by the U.S. Treasury, mainly heading to international destinations.
These are checks that people are waiting for. These are checks that people are awaiting for their livelihood.
New at 6, we've learned that included Social Security benefits, COVID stimulus checks, and tax refunds. Indictments charge at least $4 million was stolen. However, NYPD detectives think a lot more was taken.
When we look at ledgers that have been recovered and phone records and the like, our investigative theory is that over $40 million has been fraudulently either obtained or affected. So it's a big number.
A team of local and federal law enforcement has been working on the case for the past year and a half.
These are individuals working at the post office that we entrust. We give really a sacred trust to, right? So to deliver everything with integrity.
So let me ask y'all a question. As y'all go out and y'all do these, get these jobs that the public entrusts y'all to, and you decide, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and rip off the public and run it up and get a bag, and we're going to take $40 million in checks. Okay, cool. So you decided to be a white-collar criminal. You're leveraging your position. Eventually, they're going to trace it back to you because they're going to continue to flag where all of these checks are coming from. All right. Point number two. Point number three is multiple people involved in this operation. So all you need is for one person to talk or slip or get caught up, and then everybody going to get busted because he's not going to keep his mouth shut, and he's going to want to get the best sentence. And so the first person to get caught is the first person to get the best sentence because they're going to snitch on everybody else. Here's my question for this. At what point do you say, you know what? We've been doing this for 6 years, 6+ years, or at least a year. Let's say a year. Let's give it a year, year and a half, year, right? Because they've been investigating for at least a year. When do you say, all right, we won. We got to run it up. We ran it up. We got a whole bunch of money stashed away somewhere. We're going to go to some other country where you can't extradite. And we chilling. At what point do you say, we done, boss? We won, boss. We not doing no more fraud. We not doing nothing else. Is it a month? Is it 2 months? Do you do it one time and then you know that you ain't going to get caught because you did your dirt by your lonely? What's the play here? What's the play here? I don't understand criminals. I don't understand a criminal mindset. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Anyways, neither here nor there. This is Quick Hit, so we're not going to stay on just one story. We got to make sure that we address everything. A police chase ends in a shooting. And I think I know who the culprit is. Check it out.
It's almost like a movie scene. Everything happened just one thing after the other.
What y'all be looking like over there in L.A.? What the heck is going on, man?
It's almost like a movie scene.
What kind of tattoo is that? That's going up and down like that with two bars. I guess the weirder you are, the more exotic you become in a lot of people's minds. I don't know.
Everything happened just one thing after the other.
But it was real. A carjacking and wild pursuit ends with a crash and gunshot.
Good evening. Welcome to Fox 7 News at 10. I'm Ellis Michelson.
And I'm Christine Devine. A dangerous and destructive pursuit turns into a standoff. The carjacking suspects, though, not giving up.
Deputies opened fire. Fox 7's Ed Laskos live with more from the Harvard Heights area where this all ended. Ed.
Yeah, it ended here, and that eyewitness saying good it looked brothers. Like something out of a Hollywood movie, but this certainly the real deal. Just getting an update from the L.A. County Sheriff's Department a few moments ago. They suspected carjacker shot by the deputies. He is still alive this late hour, listed as critical, but the scene here is still a major crime scene. Joe, give you a quick look around. This is the corner of Vermont and Venice through the sea of red flashing lights. There you can make out that dark Toyota. That's the one. The suspected car driver led deputies hour-long pursuit, sideswiping a couple of vehicles, attempting to ram a couple of the deputies' black and white cruisers, and then it ends here dramatically with gunfire. Watch this. The violent ending to a dramatic pursuit. A suspected carjacker up against a light pole on the sidewalk, pinned in by the sheriff deputies, but he is still not giving up, revving his engine, smoking his tires, apparently trying to ram the deputies. They feel the threat and open fire.
It was my first time hearing live shots, so it was really scary. But also, when I got off my car, it seemed like few cops kind of like locked in arms, that protective shield, because I think the person inside the car may have also had a gun.
Gunfire blasting out the back window of the gray Toyota. The bullets even ripping through the windshield. The suspect inside, he's hit. He's pulled out of the bullet-ridden car and rushed to the ER. His condition unknown as the sidewalk is turned into a pool of blood after bullets fly.
It was very loud. I can't compare it. It's almost like a movie scene. Everything happened just one thing after the other. Yes, yeah, the car like just drove by me, but I thought it was just any other car. I didn't think that it was a persecute.
A dangerous pursuit that ran for an hour from East L.A. to here in Harvard Heights, closing Vermont and Venice, one of the busiest intersections in the city. It's taped off and shut down for hours, leaving evening commuters caught right in the middle of this mess.
Well, I was just driving around trying to look for a place to eat, and just casually just waiting for the light, just like everyone else. So it's one of those days.
So that's what happened over there in L.A. And then last but not least, Chicago. What up, Chicago? Check it out. Man got stomped out by a bunch of teens. Oh, I'm sorry. A large gathering. Take a look.
Now to a man beat up on the Orange Line by a group of more than a dozen kids. Tonight, he's sharing his story.
It happened downtown Monday night at about 11:15. Elizabeth Matthews spoke with the victim and has the latest. Elizabeth.
The victim is a lifelong Chicagoan, 63 years old, just trying to get home from work Monday night on the Orange Line after he says a 12-hour workday when a group of kids got on his train and he became a target.
This was surreal. I think I was just so shocked. I think I kind of went numb.
Michael Manning was heading home from work Monday night on the Orange Line after 11. When at the LaSalle Van Buren stop downtown, a group of kids got on his train car.
I knew right away that this was not going to go well.
Y'all say don't judge. I call it a spidey sense. I call it a spidey sense. Y'all always say, oh man, don't judge. You don't know, it's just a large gathering of people that are going to a bar mitzvah. Nah, you already know. People already know when a bad element step on the train. He already knew, and first person to move is the first person to get slapped up.
No matter what I said or did.
He says nothing happened until.
I stood up, and I'm 6'4", and I guess that was not a good move because I immediately got punched in the back of the head.
Dude got up to move his seat. He got up to make some adjustments. He didn't want to be surrounded. Dude stood up. No matter how tall you are, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. That's what they said.
Which sent me forward into the group, which, of course, they were like, oh, you're trying to start something with us. And then it was like I was literally running through a gauntlet of fists.
He says it was a group of more than a dozen boys and girls.
They just pounded on me. And I don't know. I just kind of knew I had to get off this car to, like, not die.
He was able to get off one stop later at Quincy, but the group followed and continued the assault. They left him bloodied on the platform, stealing only a few of his belongings before jumping back on the train. He says it could have been much worse.
Jesus Christ. Hey, man. Last person there to turn the light out, man. The last person there in these liberal cities, these sanctuary cities, these blue cities, y'all cut the lights off, man. It's crazy. You can't even catch a public train home from work as a 63. Look, man, they beat the brakes off that dude. His neck was the one of the most identifying objects on your body. Your neck, right? They stomped it. They beat the neck off of that dude. Of all of the things that I've seen in my life, I've seen black eyes, bloody lips, busted noses, teeth knocked out. They beat the brakes off this man's neck. These are demons. Only a demon can beat the brake off of your neck like that. Only a demon fights your neck. If they going for the neck, then that means that they have no home training. That is one of the clues that I'm going to keep you guys in on. If they go for the neck, that means that they have zero home training.
And hopes the next victim escapes like he did.
I don't understand how you can have this type of lawlessness and wanton disregard for basic humanity, like, and there's no checks and balances anywhere.
Nope. Forget it, buddy.
He adds that he won't be taking the train anytime soon. He says Chicago police is working to try to track down footage as well as the CTA. We heard from.
Listen, you can't get away. You can't eat. Listen, if you don't want to take the train, you take the Uber. They shooting up the Ubers. They beating the brakes off the people on the trains. You can't get away, big dog. It's just inevitable. Last person in Chicago turn the lights off. I know y'all feeling some type of way. It was somebody that was feeling some type of way about Oakland yesterday. It's a lot of people always come to me. Hey, man, don't talk about Oakland. Don't talk about Chicago. Okay. Well, I tell you what. You know, I'm one of those type of people that when you tell me not to do something, I do it more. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is your quick hits.